would you back compulsory retesting for older drivers? It's something a London widower is now calling for after his partner was run over and killed by an 87-year-old motorist. William Hegren was jailed last week for 27 months for causing death by dangerous driving. He also caused life-changing injuries to another woman. He mistook the accelerator for the brake and reversed at speed into the friends in a supermarket car park. As it stands, over 70-year-olds must self-certify if they're fit to drive every 3 years, but that is it. Does it need more? Well, the commentators Simon Waugh and Chris McGimsey with us this morning. Simon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Chris, good morning to you.
And good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What do you think, Simon?
Well, I think drivers of 70 and above, many of whom have decades of accident-free motoring behind them, are generally the safest drivers on the road. I mean, it is a fact that drivers under the age of 25 cause 85% of all serious injuries on the road. Now, this is despite the fact that there are far more older drivers. Nevertheless, these are involved in far fewer accidents. Now, you have to look at somebody when they reach perhaps, I think 70 is a bit of an arbitrary figure. I think if I would look at the age of, I would say 80. But if we're going to say 70, people's medical conditions at that age vary so greatly. I mean, I've got some very good friends in their 70s, and they are as fit as they've ever been. But that's what we do know, that things happen as you get older. Your reflexes aren't what they were. And one has to be careful. Many people at the age of 70 and beyond are on medicines that can affect their reactions. Some suffer from arthritis. They've got stiff joints, which affects their ability to drive. So, you have to be aware of these things. But to retest everybody at the age of 70, apart from the cost, would be prohibitive. I think we're looking at the wrong end of this. We should be looking at young people and what age they should be allowed to get into a car.
Chris?
Well, I mean, I think that I take the point that more of the accidents are caused by people in the younger spectrum, and that's another issue, and that's another day's work, and that needs to be dealt with as well. But I think with regard to older people, I mean, I'm in my 60s now. I think it'd be not unreasonable to suggest that I should do a test on my 70th birthday and thereafter see how it goes. I mean, your reflexes do reduce, your sight diminishes, your hearing diminishes. And I think it's right to say that really when you hit 70, it would be a reasonable enough time to start. It is far, far too late. To start reassessing to see whether or not people should be able to continue to drive. And if they do pass their test, perhaps just go back on their 45-mile-an-hour.
You know this is going to infuriate, Chris, some old people who will say this is ageism. And it is ageism, isn't it? It's the very definition of ageism. When you get to a certain age, you're going to be treated differently. That's what this is.
I mean, it's going to be a selective thing. I mean, you would have to do it. I mean, I'm getting close to that age, so I'm arguing against myself here, but yes, it is. It's going to be selective. I mean, some people would pass and maybe not have to do anything against them. They're 75. I can't see a reason why they shouldn't be test 70 and thereafter it'd be 5 years.
Stephen,
that should clarify the issue.
Yes, Simon.
Well, on one end of the scale, yes, our reflexes aren't what they were when we were younger. Many people, as I mentioned, over 60 going on to 70 are on medicines. But it's crystal clear that young drivers pose the most risk simply because their brains aren't fully formed. They're not fully... A young person's brain isn't fully wired till that person reaches his or her late 20s.
Oh, come on.
This is true.
No, it's not true.
Can I just tell you, I am reading...
Sorry, someone's brain isn't fully wired until the end of their 20s. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, if you say I'm being ridiculous...
There's 18, 19, 20-year-olds could run rings around you and I put together.
Can I just finish my point, please? I'm in the middle of reading a fascinating book by Bill Bryson. It's called The Body, and it was published about 2 weeks ago. And I've been reading this, and he says in this book... as a result of the synapses not being fully formed in the brain, a young person,
when he says young person, all my life.
Up until late 20s,
nonsense.
Will be more impulsive, less risk-averse, less reflective than his or her elders. The leading cause of death amongst young people, including people in their 20s, is car accidents. That's what Bill Bryson says.
Bill Bryson?
Sorry?
Who's Bill Bryson?
You don't know who Bill Bryson is?
No, who's Bill Bryson?
Well, he's a wonderful author, and he's a scientist.
Never heard of him.
Well, if you go into your local bookshop, this latest tome of his is quite a large book called The Body, and I recommend it to anybody for their Christmas reading. And basically, it takes you all through the parts of your body and tells you about, you know, things like, you know, what happens to you as you develop, as you get older. But I found that surprising, because I was of the opinion that when you got to mid-20s, I did stupid things in my early 20s. I was caught shoplifting when I was about 22. So I stole some cheese from a supermarket. And I thought to myself afterwards, what possessed me to do that? I now know.
Here's the first call of the day. Mickey. Morning, Mickey.
Morning, how are you doing?
I'm terrible today. Anyway, don't be asking me how I'm doing. I'm doing all day.
Glad to hear that.
Yes, Mickey.
Listen, someone was just saying there about when you get older and you're 60, you know, you start losing your sight and your hearing and stuff like that. There's stacks of young kids on the road who are wearing glasses and can't hear properly either. There's such a thing as obeying the rules of the law on the road, and you can't go wrong. I'm in my 60s myself. I've never had an accident that was my fault.
Do you support tests, extra tests, when you get into your 70s?
No.
Unless
you've had if you've had an accident of so many, your insurance company says, look, you've had so many accidents, you're getting you tested. But if you never had an accident, why would they test you?
Well, because all the faculties are starting to slow up, aren't they?
No, they're not.
Oh, come on. People's brains are not as sharp when they're in their late 70s or 80s, Mickey. We all know that.
And
the reaction times deteriorate, and the eyesight deteriorates, and the hearing. I'll never get there, by the way. I'll be dead long before that. But everything deteriorates.
No, it does. Not me. I can tell you now, I'm 100% perfect condition for my age. I don't drink, don't smoke, nothing like that. So.
Then your man here, Simon Waugh, he's gone on about some author I've never heard of, Bill Bryson, saying that, have you ever heard anything more patronising to young people in your life? Simon Waugh saying that young people's brains don't develop fully until they're in their late 20s.
No, I don't think so. Men's about to develop before that.
Big time.
But then it's young ones too. All these wee iPhones and everything else are on and everything.
Yeah, well, they're dangerous, aren't they?
I don't do
they're
that.
Dangerous. That's not just young people,
though. Shouldn't be done at all. Yeah. But if you pay the rules of the road, you shouldn't have any problems.
That's a very good point, actually. Young people are far more likely to have a phone in their hand than old people.
Look, everybody has a phone these days, and it's outrageous if they have it in their hand.
I've never held a mobile phone when driving.
Well,
Neither have I. I've had a few accidents, but weren't my own fault.
I'm not sure if Norman and Banger's brain's fully formed yet. Good morning, Norman.
Morning, Mr. Stephen.
Good morning. Norman.
50 years.
Good morning, Norman. I'm going to perk up now. I don't think I'm going to get away with moaning today, given the few shillings the BBC is paying me for this. I need to perk myself up and stop moaning. Go ahead, Norman.
Over 50 years driving, buses, lorries, cars, you name it, I've drove it. A clean driving license, no penalty points, full, no claims bonus on my insurance, never had an accident. And I see young ones out driving, and they're in and out of traffic, and they're flying past me, speeding. And all the accidents, if you check it out, all the accidents are at night time when young ones are coming home at 1 and 2 in the morning, and they're crashing into trees.
Were you a lorry driver in your time?
Yes, I did. I drove lorries for years. I've drove buses. I've drove JCB, tractors.
Well, are you trying to tell me, what age are you now?
74, and I have all my faculties about me.
Yeah, but they'd be slowing up now. Everything would be slowing up.
No. I might be slowing up a bit, but I've all my faculties about me on the road. I know what I'm doing.
But you wouldn't, Norman. You wouldn't. You wouldn't be as sharp as when you were in your 20s. You just wouldn't
be.
I am just as sharp
behind the wheel of a car. I drive within the speed limit. I've almost...
Yeah, that's fine, and that's great, but your reaction times slow up as you get older. Christmas Gypsy, right?
Stephen, you'll know when to give up driving. When I know and I start passing overweight lanes or hitting curbs, then it's time I stop driving. And I would say 80 years of age is time enough for people to give up driving. Not when they're 70, when their faculties are all about them.
Self-regulation is no... Norman, self-regulation is not the answer in this question. Whilst it's important, you can't just simply let people drive until you feel you can't drive safely anymore and then stop driving. And what happens...
I see people 40 and 50 driving overweight lanes and hitting curbs, and they can't even park their car in a supermarket.
Stephen, that's a different issue, and that's an issue of
well, it's not a different issue. If you can't reverse into a parking space in a supermarket,
I can't do that.
You shouldn't be on the road.
I can't reverse into those things.
I wouldn't like to. It's a different issue, Norman. The key is whether or not we reach a level of development or a level of deterioration where society should be starting to look seriously at people at a particular age.
I agree. When things deteriorate, when you get older. But I will know when I am not fit to drive on the road.
You won't notice the change.
We could bring this into a much more interesting conversation, couldn't we, rather than this driving stuff, about, you know, at what age does it just start getting, you know, too old? Like, is there much joy in life when you're in your 80s? Even if you are still kind of, if you still can't get up and about, like, does everything seriously slow down? You sit
Stephen,
and watch
I've
Neighbours in Coronation Street and Emmerdale and that's it, or what?
Stephen.
Yes.
I've seen a woman getting out in the supermarket, getting out of a car with two sticks. She could hardly walk and yet she was driving. Well, the person I got shouldn't be behind a wheel, in my opinion.
I think Barbara might take you on this morning, Norman. Big Barbara. Morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you? I hear you've got the cold.
Oh, I'm dying. I really shouldn't be in.
That's sad.
I really shouldn't be in.
Thank you for the lovely Christmas card. I got it yesterday.
Did you get the Christmas card? Happy days.
Thank you very much for it. It was lovely.
No problem, Barbara.
Now, this driving business.
Yes.
I'm speaking to you now. And what age would you think I was when I'm speaking to you?
I don't know. I think.
I would say 80, Barbara.
I'd have your life, Norman.
You're probably 70, Barbara.
Well, anyway,
I'd put her down for 90.
Get back to the driving. I have been driving 46 years. I've still my no claims bonus. I get my eyes tested every 6 months.
Do you?
Yes.
Why every 6 months?
My hearing's quite good, and I can go back as far as my childhood days.
Why do you get your eyes tested every 6 months?
Because I still drive. And I make sure I get my eyes tested every 6 months.
And you don't have to do that, though. That's you doing that as a responsible thing to do.
That's me doing it myself, mm-hmm. Yes. So there you are. And I've still got my no claims bonus. So what more do you want for a 78-year-old woman?
And has your vision deteriorated much, Barbara?
My vision is fantastic. I can read three cars in front of me. I can tell when they indicate. I can tell when they put their brake lights on. I can tell people when they don't put their brake lights on.
God, this woman should be a pilot.
That's what I'm saying, Barbara. You will know when you get to the stage that you shouldn't be on the road. You'll know yourself.
I just say if I get the 80 driving, I'd be very happy then I'll get a new wee scooter.
Yes.
But do you think you should be tested regularly, Barbara? Do you think all 70 and 80 year olds should be forced to get tested regularly?
You shouldn't be forced.
Why not?
I personally am thinking now with you bringing this subject up, and yes. I'm going to go out to the MOT centre and see one of those people that takes you around the roads to pass your test, and I'm going to ask them to give me a test.
Tell me this, Barbara, and what I was talking about a minute or two ago. What age is it that you start to think to yourself, everything's starting to fall apart now? Like, at what age does everything droop and deteriorate?
Well,
is it the 60s or 70s or 80s or what? Because I feel like it now, and I'm 46.
Stephen, you have a lot in front of you to come yet, dear.
What age does everything start to go wrong, Barbara? Is it the 60s or 70s? And obviously we're talking in generalities here.
The only thing started to go wrong with me when I over 60, I started to take a little bit of arthritis.
Uh-huh. You see, that would drive
me. I have a few ailments.
Yeah.
but I'm still quite able to drive because, and I'm on the 3-year licence.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen?
Yes, Simon?
Someone of 70, in their 70s, they may not realise it, but they take twice as long to react to a situation than someone in their 30s or 40s. That is a fact.
No, that's wrong, dear.
It's not. That's medically proven. Twice as long. When you get into your 70s, you don't notice the change because you're probably driving more slowly. But the fact is, older people...
Could you patronise her anymore?
No, dear. That is wrong.
You think she doesn't realise what speed she's driving at? She looks at the speedometer, you...
No, I'm not saying she doesn't realise what speed she's doing. What I'm saying is...
You just said she's driving slower and she doesn't realise it. She's not stupid, Simon.
She's driving more slowly, but she doesn't realise that in the case of a sudden incident...
This is you he's talking about, Barbara.
..twice as long to
react. I'm not going to have him in a minute. Well, now, you're talking about that. I'm a courtesy driver on the road, more so than the young ones.
Oh, I agree.
If I see lines of traffic, I would stop and let the traffic get away a bit.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
And another thing, I would let lorries and buses out. And another thing on that, I'm quite good when I'm on the road.
You let buses out?
I do a 40-mile speed limit. I do a 50-mile speed limit. 50-mile speed limit.
Aye. Tell me this.
And 70 on the carriageway.
You see the way you say you let buses out?
Yes.
Have you ever had a bus letting you out? Because the bus has never let me out in their life.
That's a courtesy driver. The young ones would run over you.
And I agree with Barbara. Your elderly people are more safer on the road than what young people are.
I think you're flirting with Barbara this morning, Norman.
And most accidents on the road are caused by young people, especially at 1 and 2 and 3 in the morning when they're coming out of these pubs.
I bet you, Barbara, you're going to get a Christmas card from Norman.
Well, hope so. I'm listening to tell you before I go off, Stephen.
Yes.
I come up the Hill Hall Road and they have it a 50-mile speed limit, but this should be 30-mile speed limit on the Hill Hall Road. And they have it down to 50.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting and driving away in my own maybe 40, 45. And you get these agents coming and overtaking you and speeding up the road. And all I say is, God help them if they had a car around the corner.
Yeah, but there's a number of roads, aren't there, where... I wonder how you get a speed limit changed on a road.
But I near died in the same 50-mile speed limit on the Hill Hall Road.
I keep on banging on about it, and I hope to God I'm wrong. But I think it's only a matter of time until someone gets seriously injured or killed on that road. It's the Cumber Road and the road that leads down to it. I need to get the name of the road. Once you pass the ice bowl... And you come down a hill before you go on to the... And you pass the ice bowl and you come down a hill. I'm sure one of our listeners are one of the team will look up the name of the road for me. And basically... It is. And to get out, if you all know the road I'm talking about here, you go down the hill and then you're cutting on to the Cumber Road. And the cars are whizzing along it. It's clearly a road that needs traffic lights. And it's only a matter of time. God... Please, I'm wrong about this. Until someone gets seriously ill or killed. It's unbelievable. Barbara, thank you. Norman, thank you.
All right, Stephen, I'll not keep you any longer. I said, thanks for the Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Barbara. Happy Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stephen, would you play some decent Christmas music?
What was that like? We played at the top. Like, it's just unbelievable, Norman.
It was awful. Funny must have picked that.
No doubt.
Very much.
Uh-huh.
Stephen, I think that's the old and Donald Road, that section you're talking about, and you're right, it is extremely dangerous.
I cannot understand how it's allowed to continue without someone putting a safety measure into that road. Like, you take your life in your hands trying to get out on, what is it, the old Dundonald Road, Chris?
I think that section's the old and Donald Road, and then it becomes the Cumber Road.
And you know the intersection I'm talking about?
I do indeed, I know exactly where you're talking about. Can be extremely dangerous because they're coming out of Robb's Road, they're coming from Belfast, they're coming from Cumber, and people are coming from the Upper King's Road. It's it can be quite a difficult manoeuvre there, you know.
So,
certainly far too difficult for somebody over 70, Norman. Our Stephen.
All right, listen, thank you, Chris, thank you, Simon. Morning to you both. Sorry I'm grumpy today. Vi, good morning, Vi.
Good morning.
Good morning. I believe you're not happy.
No, I think you are being very, very, very patronising this morning. And I cannot believe I'm actually on your show. This is the first time I've ever phoned in.
What do you mean you can't believe you? Have you never phoned us before?
No.
I get it. I get the impression you don't like me, Vi.
Oh, no, I do. I like your show. I listen to it every morning.
Good.
Sometimes I think you talk cobblers, but I mean, I do listen to it.
Sometimes I think I talk it too, Vi. Now, what can we do for you this morning?
No, I'm just so incensed at your attitude to patronising older drivers.
Well, I'm not being patronising. I'm really not.
Of course you are. You are.
How am I?
You are. And I mean, you're talking to that lady there and you're saying, when you hit, what age do you hit everything when it starts to drop and all the rest?
Well, yes.
What is all that about?
Well,
you
because
sound older. You sound older than I do.
Because I fear getting old. Like, I really do.
Oh, I can't. Rubbish.
Well,
it's the best thing ever. I'm 75 now.
And you're not going to tell me old age is the best thing ever now, Vi. Come on.
I have never been happier than what I am at the moment.
Honestly.
And we have travelled. We lived in Africa for 30 years. We lived other places around the world. We lived in Rhodesia when it was in Rhodesia. And all through our life we've travelled. And we're back in Bangor now, which is my hometown. And I have never been. And my husband, just listen to this, Stephen Rowland. My husband turned 79 yesterday. He is the best advanced driver that I have ever seen or driven with, ever. And he can reverse into the parking spot.
No, I've got... I'll tell you how bad I am. Not only can I not reverse into the parking spot, I can't work out how to use the automated thing in my car that reverses the car into the parking spot.
Oh, you are so stupid.
I can't do it myself, and I can't work out how to get the automated car reversing thing to work either.
Would you like me to come and show you?
Maybe, Vi.
It's that awful school you went to. That's what happened to you. It's done your brain in.
Royal Belfast Academical Institution.
Yeah. All my family went there, so, I mean, I know where you're coming from.
Nice to talk to you, Vi.
Okay.
Good morning. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
I'm very glad to hear Norman has got all his faculties, because I would worry if he didn't have his faculties. Now, to be honest with you,
yes.
See this, you never hear anybody saying, apart from the controversial car, you never hear anybody saying, I'm a bad driver, I need to go back for lessons, I don't think I should be on the road. It doesn't happen. Everybody's the best driver in the world. Everybody is an experienced driver that puts no accidents this time. But, you know, what accidents did they leave behind them that they don't know about? As an ex-driving instructor, an ex-chairman of the Driving Instructor Association, North and South, mm-hmm. I have seen probably every driver under the sun.
What do you mean?
And I can say there's bad drivers and dangerous drivers in every age category. Now, if somebody's such a good driver, why would they have jacked every 10 years to go on and getting a reassessment done?
Not at all.
We are such a good driver. Yeah, well, why not?
I don't think I'd pass the test again.
Sorry?
I don't think I'd pass it. You've got to study these days for the test,
don't you? No, not all that nonsense. That's got nothing to do with road safety.
You've got to pass a written test and do an oral and do a driving. I'm not doing any of that.
Forget about all that nonsense, Stephen. Forget about it all. There was a select committee set up at Westminster a lot of years
yes.
ago.
Shoot.
And the DVA, or whatever they call them in England, the counterpart of our DVA over here, were asked at that committee meeting, what safety benefits has this written test brought to road safety? And basically, nothing whatsoever. You know, fellas find it easier to pass because psychologically, fellas will take chances, whereas girls, if they're not sure of the answer, have
a sweeping statement.
Right. So that's not being sexist. That's totally to do with science. That's just the way people are made up. Plus, then you've got people who I've had personally who are excellent drivers who have got things such as dyslexia. Now, they weren't able to pass a theory test, but they were a brilliant driver in the road.
Uh-huh.
So that person wasn't allowed to drive in the road simply because they couldn't do a stupid test. Simple as that.
Yeah.
The proof of the pudding is driving out on the road.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with traffic? How do you deal with situations? How do you anticipate situations? not whether you've got an ability to reverse.
Do you know about that? Are you aware of this old Dundonald Road I keep banging on about?
I'm very well aware of it, mate, and that should have traffic lights.
It's
there.
Unbelievable. Fact, it must be one of the most dangerous roads. Do you know what we'll do? Because we're nearly coming up to Christmas now, and to be quite frank, we can't be bothered in December, but we'll do it in the new year when we get a spring in our step again.
Yes.
We need to do the most dangerous roads. We need to actually...
Well, I would volunteer to help you.
Because it could save lives, couldn't it? And we should do that as a feature in the Nolan Show and find the most dangerous roads and see if we can get something. But I'm telling you now, that old Dundonald Road is a death trap.
It's a death trap. I had PSNI, along with the chief man out of the road service, drive round test routes that were being used by the DVA for driving tests. And the police officer, quote, said to me, they expect a driver to drive up this street and turn right. And I said, correct.
What street?
He said, if I saw you bringing a learner driver up this street and asking them to turn right, I would stop you and fine you for dangerous driving. Now, that says it all.
What street?
That says it all. What?
What street?
It's a terribly... Well, as far as I know, it's been rectified now after about 10 years. But literally, it was a terrible, terrible street. In other words, you were on a hill, plus you couldn't see left and right because basically you had gable walls on either side. And you had to, what's called in the trade, to creep and peep. Now, you creep and peep, and somebody comes down, hits the front door of your car. Basically, you're at fault, but there's no other way of getting out of the street because you can't see up or down. So the only way to go is to creep and peep over the white line to be able to look up and down. But I've got a length of roads that should have one-way systems, should have speed limits changed, should have roads where you cannot make a right turn, or traffic lights that even should be traffic lights. In that case, traffic lights for the rush hour.
Yes.
For morning time and evening time. That would alleviate some of the problems.
Listen, thank you very much indeed, Tom.
Yes, you're
thank
very
you.
Welcome. So
good
remember,
morning.
If you're a good driver, there should be no reason why you're afraid of taking an assessment after 10 years.
Thank you very much.
Are you a good driver?
That man could talk.
Are you a good driver?
I couldn't get him to shut up.
Are you a good driver?
What? No, I'm a terrible.
Do you know
I'm a good driver.
Do you know how to use a bus lane?
Do you remember I got I stuck the car in the car park in the multi-story in Belfast City Centre? Yeah. Do you know why those multi-stories? I've never gone into one again since.
They can be very tight.
They're very tight. And I can't do that. So I got up there by two floors and the bloody thing stuck.
Were you driving that big tank at the time?
I was driving my big car, so I got out of it and walked away.
And you left it blocking. Well, that's just typical of you. You never answer my question. Do you know how to use a bus lane?
I phoned a man.
Do you know when not to use a bus lane?
What do you mean?
I'm just asking if you know when not to use a bus lane.
Margaret in Lisburn. Good morning, Margaret. I know exactly what you're doing. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Stephen. I hear you're not too well.
Margaret, you have no idea how much I've had to fight for the people this morning to come in here.
Well, I've had it from last Thursday.
Well, Margaret, I've had it since yesterday, and I'm panting.
Margaret, can I just say that there is nothing wrong with him?
Honestly.
Margaret is actually sick. You're just looking for sympathy and a wee day off.
I'm actually, Margaret, I've got to say I admire myself for being able to drag myself out of bed today.
I tell you, and you'll be able to wring yourself out like a dishcloth before that you're better.
I have a wee phrase for all of my friends that they're aware of. Nobody knows what I go through.
Yeah.
Ach, poor thing.
Oh, huh? It's a hard life you live.
Honestly.
Do you feel bad for him, Margaret?
I've got this election programme tonight for Five Live.
Oh, and a 3-hour programme tomorrow. That was a good idea.
I'm going to phone in a sickie.
Get a wee snooze in between.
Are you not well, Margaret?
I say get a wee snooze in between.
Yes, and what's wrong with you, Margaret?
Just the flu.
There's
just
nothing.
An old virus.
There's nothing wrong with her.
And I had it before, and I went away on holiday.
Oh,
and
dear.
And came back again with it all over again.
Oh, Margaret. Are you going to be all right?
Oh, well, I hope so. I'm going to live. My doctor said in a couple of days I'll be feeling a lot better and have the worst of it over me.
That's good, Margaret. Well, listen, I don't know if I'm going to survive even this show.
Ach, you will.
I'm
you
telling
will.
You.
You will.
Nobody get knows how sick I am, Margaret.
There's nothing wrong with him, Margaret. Don't be feeding that ego. He just wants more attention.
Yes, I'm going to leave the two of you.
Do you listen to the show often, Margaret?
Oh, your show.
Do you listen to the show often?
Huh?
Do you listen to the show often?
Yes, I do, every morning.
Well, that's why you're not feeling well. Take a wee break.
Probably.
It'll perk you up in no time.
Stay off the crisps.
Stay off the crisps, right?
Crisps will not make you better.
No, neither will a bucket of ice cream a day, Margaret, but there you go.
Thank you very much, Margaret. Good morning.
Are you really sick?
Yes, I am.
You're not at all.
I really, really am. Like,
what, is it a sore head?
I'm freezing.
You're sitting there in a t-shirt.
I know. Because I'm getting the sweats.
Right. Goodbye.
My mother would say the sweats run down my shock.
No.
Good morning, Peter.
Well, Stephen, for starter, I never thought I'd ever hear anybody, like a driving instructor, making Norman from Bangor sound interesting. But what I'm saying is, why don't they do like they do with taxi drivers? When you get to a certain age of 50, you have to do a medical.
Yeah, 50's probably right. Like, how much do you deteriorate from 50, never mind 60 or 70?
Yeah.
How much do you? Well, you must be 50, Peter, are you?
Just about, yeah.
And do you deteriorate much in your 50s?
Well, it's like everything's been then, like yourself, carrying a wee bit of weight, and probably if you get diabetes, obviously things like that, so they check us for that, and our medication, and certain medication now, as a taxi driver, that wouldn't work to an ordinary person, is they could take your license off you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were an ordinary person. And by the way, Stephen, I just what everything is, I was coming down the Armour Road the other morning, I thought it was a traffic accident. And I realised after a while it was you driving down the road at 20 miles an hour. Does your car not tell you to go faster?
I drive I'm driving Miss Daisy. I do drive slow. But I'm thinking, when I'm in the car, I'm thinking or I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I like driving slow.
I see people going by you in two speaks looking at you like, because if, like, what are you doing?
Mind your
you
know business.
I thought maybe you were training. I thought you were maybe training to be a funeral director or something, you know what I mean? Just the right speeds for a couple of years. Okay, mate.
Thank you, Peter. Vinty, good morning, Vinty.
I come on to talk about you today, but I'm
you're all your funny half hour of the day, aren't you?
I'm a team with Peter most mornings. I don't know what I want to say. I was going to talk about, you're talking about, you know, getting old. You're not to fear about getting old, Stephen.
No, I really fear getting old. I genuinely fear getting old.
I said you're a searcher.
I reckon, and I'm not saying this as a wind-up, I reckon life is probably, you would need to do everything you want to do in life by what, 55?
Ways up.
Come on.
Ways up.
Come on. Because everything does. You start to get all pains and aches and all that malarkey. And, you know, if you're not getting sick, you're about to get sick and you can't run as fast. Yeah, you can't walk as fast. I reckon 55. You need to do everything you want to do at 55 and then slow down and do whatever. Watch Homes Under the Hammer and knit and...
See, if I could get into the BBC now, Stephen, I'd hit you a good slap, or get Vinny to hit you a slap even better.
Why?
Listen, there's a lot of people, for one reason, a lot of people don't get the chance to get old. Stop moaning about that. Isn't that right?
Well, that's true.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm 61 years of age, and I've never felt as fit in my life.
Well, you see, that's just not true. You would have felt a lot fitter when you were 18.
Yeah, but I feel as fit now. I go to the gym 4 times a week. I've done a half marathon in just under 2 hours. I'm 61 years of age, so there's nothing wrong with getting old, and we're privileged to get old. And, you know, I let old drivers on the road, people's getting old, nothing wrong with
is
that.
Is it not depressing, though, getting old?
Not as bad at all, Stephen. As I said to you there, a lot of people don't get the chance to get old. So just respect it. And but you've been doing well in the weight loss and stuff like that.
Nope. I've 3-odd stone back on again.
Well, you need to do something about that, but never be afraid of getting old, Stephen. It's just a number. You know what I mean?
I'm 46 now. 46.
Well, I'm 61, and I feel 21.
Next one is...
Notice Peter. See, Peter. Peter's a good lad. I love Peter.
Has your hair fallen out yet?
I've no hair left.
See,
like,
well, there you go. So you're telling me all this here. So what? Once you start getting into your 50s, your hair falls out, your hearing starts to go, your eyesight starts to go. Everything starts to go.
I will agree with some of that. I've lost my hair from over 16 years of age, and you know, some people who have hair these days are actually shaving their hair to want to be baldy, Stephen. So I wouldn't worry about that. No, keep yourself fit. Get back to the gym. Keep yourself in trim. I go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and go out for a run on Sunday.
I might do a Wayne Rooney and get a hair transplant.
I know, but You see what you're saying about, you were very proud of yourself getting yourself into work?
Yes.
Well, I invite you to come out and sit in my car with me for 10 hours a day, whatever it is, and see how, or even Peter, or Robert, see how, or any sort of...
Where is Robert, the taxi driver? That man's abandoned me. I haven't heard from him in months.
I think he listens to your radio, probably. But go on
take somebody.
And see what the real world's like. A lot of people, I wish I could do your job, Steve.
Do you think I'm not in? Do you honestly think? Now, I just want you, hold on, we do need this sad music for this. Can I let you into my life for just 2 minutes, Vinti? Have you any idea? First of all, I have to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to come in here. I've been trying to train and coach this lot. I'm basically their carers, the team in here. And I've been trying to look after them and give them a leg up for the last 10 years, and they're completely useless.
Well, I don't agree with that. Your team are very pleasant.
No, they're not.
Taxi Vinny, a few times, absolute gentleman. Absolute gentleman. I've taxied you, by the way. And you're not a bad tipper, I'll say that. And you know what, exactly? I taxied your suit once. I thought I was going to pick you up, and I was actually picking up your suit.
And I tipped you, didn't I? That must have been a mistake.
No, yeah, I was bringing you up to Big Audrey's house, and no, it wasn't a mistake, you tipped me. You didn't speak too much. I had to drag the conversation out of you, like, but...
You have someone to taxi your suit around now. Vinny, I apologise. Although, to be fair, if you thought you were picking him up and it was just his clothes, that might have been more pleasant.
No. He said I didn't talk to him.
Did he pretend? What he does is he pretends he's on his phone, you see. He pretends he's too busy when really he just doesn't want
to
communicate.
Get the conversation out of you.
There you go.
Not Vinny. Vinny's the opposite. Vinny never shut up.
Mm-hmm. That's right. No doubt. Performing.
What?
I want Vinny's hair and I want his beard. I've already got his physique, so I'll take his hair and his beard if he's giving any away.
Did you notice he got his teeth done?
Looking well.
His
I'm telling you,
teeth
he's
whitened.
Man.
I think his boy's flipping me. What's
the thing about getting old? Your teeth fall out, Stephen.
It's what?
That's about getting old. Your teeth fall out.
All of Stephen's teeth are fake. They're not capped. Are you sure? Remember that day one fell off and you just had a wee spike? That suggests to me they're all
capped. He's probably got those dentures in, know them ones you paid $2,000 a tooth.